on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council has declined to hold an emergency meeting to discuss the commemoration of members of the RIC next week. However, Councillor Nicholas Crossan says no members of the council have expressed any interest in attending. Gardaí and Donegal have described the practice of posting the location of guarded checkpoints and speed van locations online as a very damaging thing to do. Cash and a quantity of drugs have been stolen from a takeaway in Annagree, and tributes have been paid to Dr. James Mahaffey, the former Bishop of Derry and Raphoe, who has died at the age of 88. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council has declined to hold an emergency meeting to discuss the commemoration of members of the RIC next week. Councillor Micheál Colmogill-Asbaugh yesterday publicly called for the meeting to take place and for the council to firmly oppose the planned event. Dublin City Council last night voted to boycott it. Councillor Micheál Colmogill-Asbaugh says he will now be seeking the support from fellow councillors in the hope Councillor Nicholas Crossan will reconsider.
I put in a request that an emergency meeting would be called for Donegal County Council to have a position on this RIC commemoration, like other councils have throughout the state. Today I spoke with the Cathaoirleach himself, and I'm absolutely shocked that he is now refusing to call this emergency meeting. He's told me that he wasn't attended himself or the vice chair, and that there was no need for emergency meeting. When you look at other councils throughout the whole 26 counties that are making their positions clear, why would we not be making our position clear to the public, to the people that we represent? When you look back at our own history in relation to the RIC, and if you look at the evictions in Glenbey, where there was hundreds upon hundreds of people evicted, with the support and assistance of the RIC. And I think it's absolutely disgraceful that we're not actually calling a meeting and discussing this, which is very clear, a very important issue to a lot of people. I've been contacted by unbelievable amount of people who are outraged at the position that the government has taken, and now people are going to be absolutely outraged that the Cathaoirleach Nicholas Crossan has taken this position not to call an emergency meeting when the vast majority of people of Donegal clearly wants to hear our position on this.
So what do you believe the next step is?
I've been in contact with Lufford, and I've been advised that if I get a number of signatures from other councillors and then write to the Cathaoirleach with them signatures, that he has to consider it again. I think it's really important that Nicholas Crossan does call an emergency meeting. So I will be contacting a number of councillors, and hopefully they'll be signing that letter, and hopefully the Cathaoirleach will change his mind on not coming out publicly in relation to this.
This evening, Councillor Crossan told Highland Radio News that if Councillor Micheál-Asbaugh secures five other signatures, a meeting will be called. He said neither he nor Lass Cathaoirleach Niamh Kennedy intends attending the event, and since Sunday he has been contacting other members, none of whom have expressed any interest in going. That being the case, he said he does not believe a special meeting to be necessary. Meanwhile, speaking earlier today, Donegal Minister Joe McHugh says the planned commemoration was handled badly. He has reiterated Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan's stance that the event is not a celebration and has a role in understanding and coming to terms with the past.
This has been handled in a bad way. The way it has come out, it hasn't been teased out. But as a government, we have to deal with all the issues, all the people, and deal with our complex past, which has led to who we are as a people. In terms of healing, in terms of accepting that there were so many wrongs, and we don't have a monopoly in wisdom because we didn't live at that time. Let's be very clear, this is not about commemorating the black and tans, and commemoration is not a celebration. Commemoration is about acknowledging a particular point of history, which was a very troubled point of history, and going back to the duty, as we have, and certainly I have as Minister for Education, is to allow our next generation and our current generation the freedom and space to try to understand why did some men join the RIC in this county? Why were families torn apart? How did this happen? And we have to get to the bottom of that. But this is commemoration, is not celebration.
The Taoiseach will meet the Fianna Fáil leader on Thursday to discuss the timing of the next general election. Leo Varadkar has indicated he would prefer a poll in May of this year, while Micheál Martin has suggested Easter. Tensions escalated between the two leaders in the run-up to Christmas after Deputy Martin demanded a date for the dissolution of the Dáil. Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue says it makes sense to have an orderly wind-down of government.
The Taoiseach and Deputy Martin have indicated different timelines in relation to that. The party will be ready for an election when it happens. My own view here is that in order for the government to continue to be in place, it has to have the ability to be able to function. And that is why the meeting with Deputy Martin on Thursday night is so important.
Letterkenny University Hospital is the third most overcrowded hospital today, with 47 people awaiting inpatient beds there. That's a rise of 10 on yesterday's figure and comes after management at the hospital launched the full capacity protocol last evening. Nationally, the INMO says 760 admitted patients were waiting beds this morning, the same total as yesterday, with the Irish Hospital Consultants Association warning that the daily figure could soon exceed 800. Spokesperson Dr. Fergal Hickey is a consultant in emergency medicine at Sligo University Hospital. He says it's a bed capacity issue.
We have ever-increasing demand. I mean, the reality is more and more patients are coming to emergency departments. The solution to this is more beds. The dogs in the street know that. The HSE, to be fair, knows it. The minister periodically talks about it, but has actually delivered nothing of any substance.
The Health Minister, Simon Harris, however, says he doesn't accept the INMO's analysis that the current overcrowding problem facing hospitals was predictable and could have been avoided.
I actually don't think that's a fair analysis of the situation, because I think nurses and midwives right across the country know that if you want to avoid hospital overcrowding, it's going to require significant extra capacity, both in terms of beds and staff. Now, we're doing both, but there's about 500 more nurses working in the Irish Health Service now than there was in 2018.
Gardaí and Donegal have described the practice of posting the location of Garda checkpoints and speed vans online as a very damaging thing to do. They say that checkpoints are set up for good reason and that the posting of the location on social media platforms could aid criminals in evading the law. Catherine Gaffney has more.
Gardaí are warning the public that by issuing a checkpoint alert on social media could help someone who has potentially broken into an elderly person's home escaped on a back road undetected. You may also alert someone who has no insurance to the fact that they too would be better to take an alternative route. The speeder, the person who may have consumed alcohol or drugs, will end up avoiding being apprehended by Gardaí. Gardaí say that by posting these checkpoint and speed van locations online, you are preventing them from doing their job properly. Gardaí are asking people to end the practice of posting locations online, saying that law-abiding citizens do not avoid checkpoints or speed vans, and they're glad to have a visible Garda presence on the roads.
Cash and a quantity of goods have been stolen from a takeaway in Annagry. The premises was burgled in the early hours of yesterday morning between 1.45 and 2 a.m. Entry was gained to the building via a rear window and a small quantity of goods were stolen, along with a small sum of cash from the till. An investigation is ongoing and Garda Sean Sweeney is urging anyone who observed anything in the Annagry area at the time to contact Gardaí in Milford.
So entry was gained to the building via rear window and a small quantity of goods were stolen along with a small sum of cash from the till. So again, if anybody observed anything in the Annagry area that could assist our inquiries, please contact Gardaí Milford 07491 530 60.
More than 200,000 people are to receive a €5 increase in their living loan allowance from this week. Pensioners and people with disabilities who are living alone will now be paid €14 per week. Meanwhile, over 370,000 people will benefit from an increased weekly fuel allowance of €24.50. Minister for Social Protection Regina Doherty hopes the changes will improve the position of as many families and vulnerable people as possible. The Caoimhinneach of the Inishowen Municipal District is calling on people to have their final say on the Malinhead Visitor Management Plan before the submissions deadline this week. The plan aims to build on the unique heritage and culture of the area whilst leveraging Malinhead's position as the most northerly discovery point on the wide Atlantic Way. A number of public consultations have been held across the peninsula, with feedback and observations being accepted in email or in writing to Donegal County Council before 4 p.m. on Friday. Councillor Martin McDermott says Malinhead has the potential to be a desirable year-round destination.
The thing about Malinhead, it's not just a summer project. There's people coming to Malinhead all through the year, well, let it be December, let it be January, because it has the capabilities for a bad, windy, stormy day to be as beautiful as it is on a nice summer's evening when the sun's shining bright. There's as many people coming this time of year as there are through the summer. So our numbers are increasing drastically. Falls Garden have committed, the council have committed 100% to making Malin Head one of the major visiting attractions here in this county.
Meanwhile, it's been claimed that landowners have not been properly consulted on plans for a number of trails and walkways in Malin. As part of the proposed management plan, a number of paths are to be created in the area. However, some landowners have expressed frustration at what they say is a lack of consultation before the plans were published. One of them, John Gallagher, told Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show that while a comprehensive public consultation is underway, those who would be impacted by the plans were not informed in advance.
The problem is that these trails have been proposed, they have been submitted as part of a plan, they have been unveiled as part of a plan without consultation of the landowners. And these individuals that proposed these trails or walkways or whatever you choose to call them should be mindful that a farm is a workplace.
The former chief executive of Derry Chamber of Commerce has been announced as the SDLP's latest MLA. Sinéad McLaughlin will replace party leader Colm Eastwood, who was elected full MP last month. Ms McLaughlin was elected to Derry City Council in the last local elections and has pledged to work towards ensuring that the city deal reaches its full potential. While hopeful of a breakthrough in talks at Stormont this weekend, the new full MLA says people's lives are being put at risk as a result of the political deadlock.
I'm very honoured to be representing the people of Foyle, and hopefully the assembly will be up and running next week and we can get in there and roll our sleeves up and start working and delivering for the people of Northern Ireland.
And indeed, in your previous roles, you have seen firsthand what is needed for the region.
Yes, and I feel that we've had a decade where we have failed to deliver on the big key issues. Now, obviously, since 2010, we have changed our city quite dramatically. We've got very good investment in our infrastructure, in our public realm. But the things that really matter about economic development, they have remained undelivered. And the key area of focus for me will be the expansion of McGee and Ulster University. That is the key economic catalyst that the city needs in order to deliver prosperity for the city region. And my background is in economic development, and I have for years argued the case about a more effective economic and social policies for Derry. And now this is a time where I, as an MLA and a legislator, can actually promote and change the outcomes for people in the city, all over the city and all over the region.
And ultimately, the stalemate at Stormont needs to end to enable these things to be delivered.
Absolutely, and we're at a critical phase of the negotiation. There are people actually dying as a result of no delivery at Stormont because of our health service, and particularly in our mental health as well. So there are real serious issues that need attention and delivery, and it's up to the political leadership now to take up the challenges and start working for the people that elected them.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, where their big sale is now on with up to 50% off across all departments, in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
At 5:15, it's time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with boxing, and Jason Quigley will make a quick fire return to ring action later this month. Golden Boy Promotions middleweight Quigley will face a yet to be named opponent at the OC Hangar in Costa Mesa, California on January 23rd. Quigley will be back at the scene of a third round stoppage of Abraham Cordero on December the 5th. Moving on to soccer, and former Shamrock Rovers and St Pat's striker Brandon Mealy has been banned for 2 years. Mealy failed to provide an adequate anti-doping sample in April of last year. The 25-year-old says an accident involving his daughter on the night led to his inability to provide a full sample. Mealy says the ban is severe, but it's one he'll accept. And Scottish Premiership struggler St Mirren have conducted a double raid on the League of Ireland. They've signed Cork defender Conor McCarthy on a 2.5-year deal, while former Dundalk forward Jamie McGrath has signed a similar contract with the Paisley club. And Glenn Whelan, he's searching for a new club after being released by Hearts. The veteran Republic of Ireland midfielder had been at the Jambos for just 4 months and made 17 appearances for the Scottish club. Whelan fell out of favour at Tynecastle when Daniel Stendale took over last month. And Scott Sinclair, he could be on his way out of Celtic. The striker was a key figure during Brendan Rodgers' successful spell in Glasgow, but hasn't featured as regularly under new boss Neil Lennon. He was absent from their winter training in Dubai today. On the pitch tonight, Manchester United boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says his team will be going all out to win the League Cup now that they're in the last four. They face local rivals Manchester City in the first leg of their semi-final at Old Trafford tonight. Kick-off is at 8 o'clock. Elsewhere, Danny Drinkwater has moved on loan from Chelsea to Aston Villa until the end of the season. The midfielder spent the first half of the campaign at Burnley but made just two appearances for them due to injury. Drinkwater's cup tied for Villa's League Cup semi-final first leg at his former club Leicester City tomorrow night. And as the Mayor's Chelsea paid over £26 million in compensation after sacking former manager Antonio Conte. The money went to the Italian and his staff, as well as covering legal costs following his dismissal in 2018. Conte led Chelsea to a Premier League and FA Cup double in 2017. The club's accounts for 2018-19 show they made a loss of £96.6 million. In Australian rules news, Sydney Swans coach Tadhg Kennelly thinks Cathal McShane will be playing for Tyrone in the Championship this summer. The all-star forward set to train with the AFL's Adelaide Crows ahead of a potential move down under, but Kennelly says the Crows would be unable to register McShane to play in the league this season and thinks they'll likely allow him to return to Tyrone before joining in 2021. In rugby, Simon Zeebo has been ruled out of Sunday's Heineken Cup Champions Cup clash with his former side Munster. The former Irish fullback suffered an ankle injury in Racing's win against Claremont last week, and he'll now miss the visit of the Reds to Paris. Victory for Racing would seal their place in the knockout stages of the competition. And there's good news on the fitness front for Ulster ahead of their trip to Claremont. Key trio Marcel Coetzee, Jordy Murphy and John Cooney are all available to play. Cooney and Coetzee have come through their return to play protocols while Murphy's recovered from illness. And Connacht, they've been handed a major boost ahead of Saturday's Heineken Champions Cup clash with Toulouse. Bundy, Aki, captain Jared Butler and Ireland duo Jack Kearney and Alton Delan all return for the game in Galway. Connacht need to win the game to keep alive their hopes of a quarter-final place. In cricket, Ireland are in action this evening. They're playing in the one-day international series against the West Indies. The game is taking place in the Kensington Oval in Bridgetown. It's just about to start. The game is the start of a six-match series between the sides. Finally, for this evening, in Formula One, Max Verstappen has signed a new contract extension with Red Bull until the end of 2023. The Dutchman became the youngest ever winner of a Grand Prix when he claimed victory in Spain in 2016. He finished third in the 2019 Drivers' Championship with three race victories. That's all your sports this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to news, tributes have been paid to Dr. James Mahaffey, the former Bishop of Derry and Raphoe, who has died at the age of 88. Pat Hume, wife of former SDLP leader and Foyle MP John Hume, said this morning that Bishop Mahaffey worked closely with her husband and never gave up on the quest for peace. She also highlighted the close working relationship Bishop Mahaffey had with the late Catholic Bishop of Derry, Dr. Edward Daly. The importance of that friendship was also highlighted by Paul McFadden, the communications officer with the Diocese of Derry and Raphoe.
He came to the city as Bishop of Derry and Raphoe in 1980, which was an incredibly difficult time in the life of this city and of this community. It was a very polarised society back then, and he threw himself wholeheartedly into the work of peace building. The fact that those two men were in situ at that time, that very difficult moment in our history, It was incredibly fortuitous when we look at it now. I mean, that work of peace building back then, when the conflict was still in full flow, it was almost unimaginable, I think, that we could arrive at the point we're at now in this city and in this community. The two bishops, Bishop Mahaffey and Bishop Daly, attracted great and very vocal criticism for embarking on the path on which they did. And they drew tremendous flack from people who perhaps didn't see as far ahead as they did. But it didn't deter them from that path.
And finally, Letterkenny Chamber has briefed Minister Joe McHugh on the priorities for the town and what the government can do to support them. Chamber President Jimmy Stafford and Chief Executive Tony Forster told Minister McHugh that as the commercial centre of Donegal, a thriving Letterkenny is good for the entire county and that cannot be forgotten. Tony Forster says ease of access to and from Dublin is the key issue facing the town and the county in 2020.
Infrastructure is by far the number one priority. It has been for a very long time, probably highlighted last year because of the issues we had around town here. But our big thing we've always discussed with the government is the access to Dublin. So the A5, which is not necessarily in the Irish government's gift, but that we hope will be back on the table again and started. Also the 10T, which would deliver the Manor to Lifford Road, the Bonagie Link Road and the Ballybuffet Bypass. We know the government are hearing us. And we just hope they're listening.
There's no doubt that the Chamber has a vision for the coming year and indeed for the coming number of years. The government, as you say, does have a role to play in that in terms of ensuring the funding is forthcoming for those major infrastructural projects you're speaking about. Are you getting any sense from Joe McHugh that we're closer?
Well, I suppose we're getting the sense that we know the council are working on the roads. We know that we're getting close to route selection, signing off on route selection. And then a wee bit of that's down to the county council. And my impression is that it's there in 2040 plan, you know, and hopefully this government can deliver, or whatever government we end up with can deliver. We've always tried to be optimistic about this, but we want to see it done as soon as possible. Letterkenny in particular has to thrive and have ease of access for the whole county, we think, to operate properly. We need the other towns, and we also need the other towns and villages around the county to be thriving because Letterkenny is a commercial centre.
Weather now windy with outbreaks of rain for a time early tonight, but a clearance of two isolated showers will follow, becoming cooler as the rain clears with lowest temperatures of 3 to 6 degrees. Strong to gale force and gusty southwest winds will veer westerly and gradually ease inland. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the Gaerlock of Donegal County Council has declined to hold an emergency meeting to discuss the commemoration of members of the RIC next week. Councillor Micheál Colmogill-Osbaugh yesterday publicly called for the meeting to take place and for the council to firmly oppose the planned event. This evening, Councillor Nicholas Crossan told Highland Radio News that if Councillor Micheál-Osbaugh secures five other signatures, a meeting will be called. The Taoiseach will meet the Fianna Fáil leader on Thursday to discuss the timing of the next general election. Leo Varadkar has indicated he would prefer a poll in May of this year, while Micheál Martin has suggested Easter. Gardaí and Donegal have described the practice of posting the location of Garda checkpoints and speed van locations online as a very damaging thing to do. They say the checkpoints are set up for good reason and the posting of the location on social media platforms could aid criminals in evading the law. And Letterkenny University Hospital is the third most overcrowded hospital in the country today, with 47 people awaiting inpatient beds there. That's a rise of 10 on yesterday's figure and comes after management at the hospital launched the full capacity protocol last evening. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Tuesday evening, January the 7th. The death has taken place of the Right Reverend James Jim Mahaffey, 10 Clearwater Derry, retired Bishop of Derry and Raphoe. Funeral service will take place on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock at St Columb's Cathedral, Derry. A cremation will take place in Roselawn Crematorium on Monday afternoon at 1:30. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only, donations of which to St Columb's Cathedral, care of the Very Reverend or Steward, the Deanery, 30 Bishop Street. The death has occurred of Sarah Dorothy Fair Balnahone Vaughan. Funeral service will take place on Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock in Fawn Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in St Murray's Church of Arnhem Burial Ground, Fawn. House private, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if wished, to Buncrana Community Nursing Home, McGinn Avenue, Buncrana. The death has occurred of Noel Moss, 98, Tully Carr Road, Ahearn. Noel's remains will repose at his late home from 9 o'clock tonight. Funeral from his late home on Friday afternoon at 1:30 for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Ahearn. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Betty Harris, née Toland, Kilmacrennan Road, Milford. Her remains will repose at her home tomorrow and on Thursday, with wake each day from 10 a.m. until 10 p.m. Requiem Mass on Friday morning at 11 o'clock in St Peter's Church, Milford, with burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Michael McMenamin, 36 Kilgort Road, Clody, whose remains are reposing at his son John's home, 40 Kilgort Road. Funeral from there at 10:15 on Thursday morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Joseph's Church, Craigban, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. until 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Mark Leckie O'Nish Remelton. His remains are reposing at the Sean O'Hare Unit, Stranorler. Wake today until 9 o'clock and tomorrow from 12 noon until removal at 1 o'clock for service in Remelton Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the family plot at Bank Cemetery, Remelton. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Drogheda Ward Sean O'Hare Unit, Kerv Gibson Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Sarah Kern, Cochin Derrybeg. Sarah's remains will repose at Rorty's Funeral Home, Mina Niller, Derrybeg, until Rosary at 9 o'clock tonight. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Volcarran Nursing Unit, care of any family member. And the death has taken place of Freddie Wilson, Woodend, Hornhead, Dunfanaghy. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral service at his home tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Service private to family and friends only, please. Burial afterwards in Ballymore Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to a local family leukaemia support fund, care of any family member, or James Harkin, funeral director.